You are Locked On Seahawks, your daily Seattle Seahawks podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Greetings, 12. This is Corbin Smith, your host for Locked On Seahawks. Happy Thursday. Glad to have you listening in to another jam-packed episode. I'm going to be checking out two veteran tackles that are still remaining on the market and investigate whether or not the Seahawks should try to sign them before the start of the season. And I'm going to be taking a closer look at where the running back group stands after the draft in our position-by-position off-season review. This episode is brought your way by Rock Auto. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Visit rockauto.com and tell them Locked On sent you. Now for your lead story here on Locked On Seahawks. Last month, Seahawk players released a statement through the NFL Players Association indicating they would not attend on-field voluntary off-season workouts due to safety concerns amid the COVID-19 pandemic. This is a fluid situation, so we have seen several other teams that release similar statements that now have players shifting course, and they've reported for OTAs. All three of the other teams in the NFC West, the 49ers, the Cardinals, and Rams, have significantly higher participation rates. But the Seahawks, their veterans have stuck to their guns. According to Coach Pete Carroll, less than 40 players have been on the field during the team's first three closed practices this week. None of your notable stars are in town. Russell Wilson is training in San Diego. He's had teammates out there training with him. Many others are training all over the country. Carroll noted that not a lot of these players live in the Seattle area during the offseason, so it can be difficult at times trying to get everybody corralled and bringing them out for these early offseason practices. Basically, this week has been an extension of the rookie minicamp. Your draft picks, your undrafted rookies, some young players that maybe have a year or two in the league but haven't accrued a season. They haven't played enough regular season action, so they were eligible. Those same players that were there a few weekends ago, those are the ones that are on the field taking advantage of these reps right now. There is one notable exception when looking at the veterans, though. Quarterback Akello Witherspoon, who the team signed in March to a one-year deal, he's been at the team facility for the past 2 months to take advantage of the team's medical staff. He informed reporters today that he had a minor knee procedure this offseason. He's still rehabbing his way back. So while he hasn't been participating in on-field work necessarily, he has been training at the facility. He's been working with their trainers. He also felt developing relationships with coaches such as Carroll and their defensive back coach, Andre Curtis, would be easier being at the facility than through Zoom meetings. And he's reaped the rewards of his decision to report early. So that's one notable exception. When Carroll was asked if he had any concerns about other NFC West teams having much larger participation rates at their respective OTAs, he had this to say.
We're just doing what's best for us and what our guys need to do. And like I've told you, we're making terrific progress. We've been here before with what we can get done in virtual, and it's going great. And our guys are dedicated and working their butts off everywhere, all over the place. And we don't have that many guys living in the area, so it's a little bit more of a challenge to get guys in here early in the off season. But other than that, whatever they're doing, they're doing. I don't know, what their workload's like, or I don't know what their mentality's like in other places. I wouldn't know that.
There will be plenty of fans that are in an uproar about the fact that Seahawk veterans are not reporting for these off-season workouts, and other teams such as the Rams and the Cardinals have got a much higher participation rate. But honestly, this is not a big deal. Players like Russell Wilson, Bobby Wagner, and Jamal Adams, they don't need these workouts in May and June with the team. They simply don't. You're established veterans. Being somebody that is reported from these camp practices, your rookie mini camps, the organized team activities, even mandatory mini camp, these sessions don't have tackling or blocking, very minimal contact. It's supposed to be no contact, but that's very difficult to pull off on a football field. Nonetheless, you're not really playing football. You can get some work done, but these are not practices that are going to be a difference maker in terms of whether your team wins the division or wins a Super Bowl. It's not going to be a situation where if the 49ers or the Rams are playing really well in December, well, you can look back and say, well, look, all their guys were at organized team activities. That's not how it works. These practices really don't impact things that much. And so it's really not a big deal. And there's a reason Pete Carroll supports the players on this. he's not going to fret about this, and he shouldn't. These OTA practices are not a big deal at all. You don't really gain that much if you're a veteran. Russell Wilson can get just as much, if not more, done on his individual practice field that he has. There's really no point in him flying up to Seattle for these practices, especially if a bunch of the other veterans weren't going to be there. What value is he going to get from that? He can call up Dwayne Eskridge and see if he can get Eskridge to come down to San Diego with him for a few days. And that's going to be less of a hassle for Russell Wilson. So at the end of the day, this really isn't a big deal. And some might point to the new offensive coordinator, Shane Waldron, and say, well, these practices, they really need these reps to be able to get that new scheme down. But Pete Carroll and company, they're very comfortable with doing all of this virtually. And they've got the four meetings a week that they're doing with their veterans, and they have a very high participation rate with those meetings. And that's allowing them to continue learning this new offensive scheme and really focus on getting more up-tempo, which is going to be emphasized. Players are still competing, just in different ways. They're learning Shane Waldron's offense this way right now with four meetings a week. As far as when things need to get serious, I do think mandatory minicamp has a lot more value. And Pete Carroll made it clear he expects most of the Seahawks players to be there when that three-day event takes place next month. There will be players who start to trickle in as OTAs progress too, but nobody should be getting upset about the lack of numbers right now. It's simply not worth fretting over. When I return in the second quarter, I'm going to be checking out two of the most notable veteran tackles remaining on the market. There's been plenty of speculation out there that maybe the Seahawks will take a look at one of those players as we get closer to the start of training camp. You're listening to the Locked On Seahawks podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it is now impossible to stock all the parts you need in a traditional chain storefront. Why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning and wait while the counterman orders the parts on his computer, choosing the only brand his warehouse happens to carry? You have computers with access to rockauto.com and in your pocket. RockAuto.com is a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. Best of all, prices at RockAuto.com are always reliably low, and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to RockAuto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car and truck. Write "Locked On" in their "How Did You Hear About Us" box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. Welcome back to the Locked On Seahawks podcast. I'm your host, Corbin Smith. Thanks for listening in on this fine Thursday. The Seahawks will open the 2021 season with four returning starters along their offensive line, including both of their tackles in Dwayne Brown and Brandon Shell. It's also worth noting Cedric Abueh, he's going to be coming back on a one-year deal. They used a sixth-round pick on Florida's Stone Forsythe. He's going to be joining the mix along with Jamarco Jones, being able to play either spot. Still, this has not stopped speculation about Seattle potentially taking a look at the top two remaining tackles on the free agent market in Mitchell Schwartz and Morgan Moses. Both these players were released by their respective teams. Most recently, Moses was cut by Washington after they signed Charles Leno, formerly of the Chicago Bears. He was a cap casualty. They're going to plug Leno in on the offensive line as his replacement. And Schwartz was released by the Chiefs, who overhauled pretty much their entire offensive line after they got ransacked in the Super Bowl against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And they've got one of the more formidable-looking lines, but Mitchell Schwartz has been a very good player for close to half a decade. So looking at these two players, whether it would make sense or not for Seattle to consider, I'm going to start with Mitchell Schwartz because he's been one of my favorite right tackles for quite some time. Four-time All-Pro selection, and really his calling card is pass protection. We know Russell Wilson this offseason made it public that he was frustrated about how much he was getting hit. Mitchell Schwartz, if healthy, absolutely helps you in that regard at right tackle. He's been one of the best pass-protecting tackles in the league for the last 5 or 6 years. He's given up some sacks along the way, but his overall pressure numbers are elite, particularly in 2019 when he was a first-team All-Pro. That year, he did not give up a sack. It was a phenomenal year for him, and the Chiefs went on to get the Lombardi Trophy that year. And that was after three straight second-team All-Pro nods. He's a proven veteran. He has a great reputation in Kansas City in their locker room. He brings leadership. Really, the big question marks, though, for me. You look at the scheme fit. I'm wondering about him as a run blocker. We really don't know what Shane Waldron's offense is going to look from a run game perspective. If it's like Sean McVay's offense in Los Angeles, you're going to see a much larger emphasis on wide zone and maybe some split zone. And I could see Schwartz fitting in well with that, but he is not known necessarily for his run blocking, not a guy that's going to maul people off the line of scrimmage. That is not his game. So that's something that I don't consider a strength of his. But my real concern is Schwartz's health. He had back surgery. He missed most of the 2020 season. He's going to be 32 years old. So he's a little bit older player that is coming off a back injury, and you never mess around with those, especially in a sport like football. There have also been rumors he's considering retirement too. So that's a big red flag to me. I don't know where his commitment's at. He has accomplished so much in the league. We've seen more and more players retiring at an earlier age. I could certainly see him decide, you know what? I got a Lombardi trophy. I've been in All-Pro selection 4 times. I've done a lot of great things in my career. I'm going to get away now while my body's still in decent shape, and I'm going to retire. I could see that absolutely happening. To this point, there haven't been any new reports that have surfaced about that. He has posted a few videos showing him working out. A few of them have been jokes more than anything, but he has shown some videos of him working out. So that makes me wonder, you know, is he still trying to figure out what he wants to do for the 2021 season? But that back injury and his age, those are things that would concern me if I'm a prospective team that's considering him for next season. As for Morgan Moses, we're talking about a little different style player here. I mentioned Schwartz, his strength isn't necessarily in the run game. Morgan Moses is the exact opposite. He's been one of the best run-blocking right tackles for the past few years. He received an 86.4 grade last year from Pro Football Focus as a run blocker. He's capable of physically mauling people at 330 pounds. But I think the thing that gets lost with Morgan Moses, especially the last couple of seasons when he's really put together his game, he's also a lot lighter on his feet than you'd expect at that size. So I think he could handle a zone blocking scheme. If that's really what the Seahawks are going to be leaning towards with Shane Waldron, I think Morgan Moses could handle that. He's also made some significant improvements in terms of pass protection. That was a major problem for him his first few years in the league. He battled through an injury late last year too. This kid is tough. He's 30 years old. So you could say for an offensive lineman, he is in the prime of his career. So if he blocks like he did last year as a pass protector, then you're getting a pretty solid football player for that right tackle position. But I'm just not sure if you're getting an upgrade over Brandon Shell. I think a lot of fans are forgetting that Brandon Shell was in the top 20 for tackles last year on Pro Football Focus for pass protection. And I know he was not the same after he injured his ankle in the second half. And he just wasn't healthy. When he tried to play in that playoff game, you could tell that he was hobbled by that high ankle sprain. He was not close to 100%. But before he suffered that injury, he was one of the most pleasant surprises on the Seahawks roster. He's not known as a great run blocker, but he plays with physicality, and he was so much better in pass protection than I anticipated that he was going to be. I just don't know that Morgan Moses is going to provide you an upgrade in that regard. I think he's a better run blocker than Brandon Shell. He's one of the best run blocking right tackles in the league, but I would have taken Shell last year in terms of pass protecting before he suffered that injury. And I just don't look at Moses' track record. He was better last year, but he has not been a great pass protector throughout his career. At this point, I know Pete Carroll loves running the football, but I'm valuing the pass protection much more than I am the run blocking, especially at the tackle positions. So I just don't see him as a player that you're going to be able to just sign him and, oh, that's our starter at right tackle. I don't know that he is an upgrade over what you already have at that position. So if I had to pick one of these two players, it would absolutely be Mitchell Schwartz because of his All-Pro pedigree. I think you're getting a major upgrade in pass protection because he's one of the best in the business at that. And that's really what Russell Wilson wants. So if he's healthy and he wants to play, he's been one of the best right tackles in the league for a long time. It would be an upgrade if you check off a few of those boxes that he is fully healthy and he really wants to play. I think he's a better player. We're talking about a guy that's been an All-Pro a bunch of times. He's been a Pro Bowler a bunch of times. Brandon Shell does not have those type of accolades on his resume. The underlying issue here is all about that back and if he wants to play. And I just question, based on what I've been told, whether or not he's really that interested in playing this season. And again, back injuries are not something to mess around with, particularly with offensive linemen. So that is something the Seahawks would have to be very cautious about. Any prospective team would have to be cautious with that. Me personally, with these two players, I think they're both good tackles. And maybe a year or two ago, before Seattle signed Brandon Schell, I would have been jumping on the bandwagon of signing either one of these players. I just personally think that the Seahawks tackle group is a lot better than a lot of fans realize. Duane Brown is still playing at a very high level. Brandon Schell, again, he was one of the biggest surprises for a good reason last year. He gave them a bunch of really good performances at right tackle as a pass protector, and injuries slowed him down late in the year, but he really vastly exceeded any expectations that I had coming into the season. And Cedric Ogbuehi, his first start replacing Brandon Schell was a disaster, but the last three games going against Washington, the Rams, and the 49ers, three teams with a lot of defensive line talent, he had three really impressive spot starts in place of Brandon Schell. And I've made this argument a few times that Brandon Schell, because he was not healthy in that playoff game, I almost wonder if they would have started Cedric Ogbuehi, if they would have won that game. That's how big of a difference it was, because Brandon Schell was just struggling over there, and the Rams were getting a lot of instant pressure off the edge. That's how well Ogbuehi played at the end of the year. I would have been confident in him going out there. If they needed another week to really get Brandon Schell close to being 100%, I would have done it. And I think that Stone Forsythe has a lot of potential. I'm on the higher end of the spectrum for him. I didn't have him as a second rounder, but I thought that he was a player that could go in the third, early fourth round, and he fell to the sixth. There are some draft analysts that didn't think he had a draftable grade. I don't see that when I watch his film. I like him at either tackle spot. I think he potentially could be Duane Brown's heir apparent. Maybe he's your swing tackle this year. I just like this group of tackles that they have. Is it elite? Not necessarily, but I don't think that they have to go out and spend whatever remaining cap space that they have necessarily on this position. I like the group they have. If they were able to bring in a player like Mitchell Schwartz for an affordable deal and his cap hit was relatively low and they could fit in their budget, then maybe you could explore that. But I think they have plenty of confidence, as they should, in Brandon Schell. I think they like the backups that they have behind him that could plug in if needed. So I don't necessarily see this as a major need. Maybe bringing back KJ Wright, looking at remaining corners that are out there, defensive tackles. I just think there are other positions with all the talented veterans that are still out there that Seattle would be more wise to look at based on where their tackle group is at right now. When I come back in the third quarter, continuing our position-by-position post-draft review, I'm going to be going to the backfield. Chris Carson's coming back. A number of other players from last year's team are going to be back in Seattle as well. But a few intriguing additions might make training camp more interesting than anticipated. You're listening to the Locked On Seahawks podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Baseball season is in full swing, and you can track all the action at BetOnline. Get all the latest news, odds, and info for all your sporting needs, including Major League Baseball, the NBA, NHL, and all of the UFC MMA action. Before the next pitch, head over to BetOnline on your laptop or mobile device and check out all the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore, as this is your chance to get into the game as teams prep for their runs to the playoffs. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Welcome back to the Locked On Seahawks podcast, Thursday edition. I'm your host, Corbin Smith. Glad to have you tuning in. Continuing our position-by-position post-draft overview, the Seahawks have a lot of experienced running backs returning to the fold. The biggest surprise, Chris Carson. I've talked about it a lot on this show. Before free agency got started, I didn't see any way that he was going to be coming back. And then as free agency unfolded and we saw what the plummeting salary cap was really doing to the running back position, a number of positions. We saw players getting devalued because teams simply did not have money to spend. Running backs took the brunt of that, playing a position that continues to become more and more devalued by the league. Then it started to become more of a possibility that Chris Carson was going to be coming back. It still surprised me, though, when he signed a new two-year contract to return to Seattle. So he's going to be back in the bell cow position. He's going to be getting a lot of carries. I expect they're going to ride Chris Carson really hard during the 2021 season as their number one back. Now that they have him on contract for the next couple of years, this is how teams handle running backs. And then it's a short shelf life, so who knows what happens beyond 2022. But as long as he can stay healthy, he's a battering ram. I think he's got a really good chance to get back above 1,000 rushing yards this year and lead the way for the Seahawks out of the backfield. Again, it's still a surprise to me, though, they were able to get him back. Alex Collins is also returning after playing in three games last year. I thought he played really well in those three games. He ran with a tenacity and a violence that we have not seen from him his first stint in Seattle. He looked more like the Arkansas version of Alex Collins, and he was going after defenders. He was bowling through guys. He was hurtling over defenders. He just looked like a different back when he had those limited opportunities. And so the Seahawks were glad to be able to re-sign him to an affordable veteran minimum deal on a one-year contract. So he's going to be competing for one of those backup spots. Rashad Penny, he's fully healthy. You can't understate that. I mean, you look at last year, and a lot of people were upset about it. But Rashad Penny suffered that ACL injury late in the 2019 season. When a player suffers an injury of that severity in that timeline, you're talking about an injury that can take 9, 10, 11 months to fully make it back from. Some guys make it back quicker. It depends on the situation. But asking him to return at the beginning of the season was a long shot. And by the time he was able to return late in the year, he didn't have a training camp. He didn't have any of that type of stuff. He just had a few weeks to get onto the practice field, and he just didn't look like the same player that he was before he suffered that injury. He had two of his best games right before he suffered that injury against the Rams. And so I do think it's a big deal now that he's had a full offseason. He's going to have a full offseason where he's not rehabbing and he's just training to prepare for the season. That's a big difference from where he was at this time last year. So I still believe Rashad Penny can be a difference maker. I don't know at this point, especially with Chris Carson coming back, I don't know how many carries he's going to wind up getting. He's got to prove he can stay healthy. Durability has been a major problem for him throughout his three seasons in Seattle, which is, it's still so ironic because that was one of the big reasons the Seahawks picked him when they did in the first round. They wanted a running back they thought was durable, and he was at the college level. That is not carried over to the NFL, though. He's got to stay healthy. And if he can, he still is the best complementary back Seattle has to Chris Carson because he's got that third gear, that home run hitting ability, and he can run to the outside. It's just a really nice 1-2 punch if you can just keep them both healthy. Behind them, DJ Dallas, Travis Homer, two day three selections from the last couple of drafts. They've gotten a few spot starts with the injuries that have hit the Seahawks in the backfield. Homer took advantage of it at the end of his rookie season in 2019. Was playing alongside Marshawn Lynch when they got into the playoffs. And then last year, Homer was dealing with injuries. Carson was out. Carlos Hyde missed a bunch of games. So DJ Dallas got a couple of starts in the middle of the season. Both these players were able to find the end zone. They were able to do some nice things. But at the same time, you didn't see a player that was a potential starter down the line when those two were in the lineup either, particularly as ball carriers. And the big difference, Travis Homer's got plenty of explosiveness, but you just don't see the physicality running between the tackles. You don't see necessarily the vision from him. And DJ Dallas, it's kind of the opposite. He's got really good vision. He's got good movement for his size, being a short, stocky runner, but he doesn't have the burst. He doesn't have the explosiveness that some of your top running backs have. And so he might see the crease, but he doesn't necessarily always have the burst to be able to hit it hard and be able to create yardage. And we saw that from him in a couple of games that he started last year. So both those guys, there's still a lot left for them to prove, but they are really solid receivers. They're really good in pass protection. So they are ideal third down backs. I expect those two are going to be battling for that position. They're also good special teams guys. And that always helps you when you're number three, number four, number five running back of the depth chart. If you can contribute on special teams, it dramatically enhances your chances of sticking on the 53-man roster. With those five running backs right there, I think that would be a fun competition in training camp. But there are a couple wild cards to throw into the equation here. The Seahawks got two very exciting undrafted rookie running backs. And obviously, being a former running back, I'm always excited about this position. But these two guys, I love what I see on film. A little different storylines. B.J. Emmons coming out of Florida Atlantic. He actually started his college career at Alabama. He was a five-star recruit that went to Alabama. So you know he's got talent. And as Jim Nagy said on our podcast when we had him on a couple weeks ago, this is a player that you pop on the tape, and there are plays that you see a legitimate NFL running back with B.J. Emmons. Unfortunately, he's had some injuries. He's bounced around to multiple schools, never was able to produce anywhere close to what people thought he was going to coming out of high school as a five-star recruit, and now he's dealing with an injury during OTAs. So durability is certainly a question mark with him, but again, you pop in the tape and you see a physical runner that's got really good burst that fits the size prototype Seattle normally looks for in the backfield. And Josh Johnson, who we've had on the podcast recently, Josh Johnson had a fantastic junior year with over 1,200 rushing yards, 11 touchdowns. He was a second team all Sun Belt selection. And this is a guy that's at 215, 220 pounds. He's got some wiggle. He has some Marshawn Lynch in his game. He'll run over guys. He'll break arm tackles. Just surprising burst for a player of his stature. So, again, this is another player. Didn't have a great senior year because he had COVID. He had some injuries. It was not a good senior season for him at Louisiana Monroe. But he looks like the back that I've seen on film from his junior year at the couple OTA practices that I've been at. I think when they get in pads that he is going to be one of the undrafted rookies that I'm going to be watching most closely, because even with the talent in front of him, that is a position that I could see an undrafted rookie come in if he has an outstanding training camp, plays well in the preseason. Players like DJ Dallas and Travis Homer better be looking in the rearview mirror for those two guys, because they are talented enough to be able to contend for a roster spot if Dallas and Homer don't take the strides that they need to. And with Pete Carroll's mantra being always compete, they're going to give those young guys, those undrafted rookies, their opportunities, and they're not going to just hold on to former draft picks just to save face. We've seen the 2017 class, only a handful of those guys have gotten second contracts. They're not going to be afraid to move on from draft picks in the running back position if they've got some undrafted guys that they think are going to be better for them this year and have more upside. So I think the most pressure in this group is on Dallas, Homer, and obviously Alex Collins as well. I think Alex Collins is a really solid back. I just think that when you look at the fact he hasn't played much on special teams in the NFL career, he's not known for his receiving ability. I don't know that he can play that third down back role. That, to me, gives the edge to DJ Dallas and Travis Homer over him, because they can be that third down back. They can play on special teams. Both of them are very good special teams players. Collins maybe can do it, but he doesn't have the snaps. He's not done that for the Seahawks the couple years that he's played for them. He's just been a running back exclusively. So when I look at a 53-man roster, I think that's the big thing that causes Alex Collins to narrowly miss out, and DJ Dallas and Travis Homer hang on to a roster spot. But those two better be ready. Because, again, Josh Johnson, B.J. Emmons, both those guys have NFL-caliber talent. They are going to be coming for a roster spot, and they're going to be ready come training camp. So if those two guys are healthy, they're able to perform well, D.J. Dallas and Travis Homer better step up, because Johnson's a guy that doesn't have many receptions in college, but he's got soft hands when you watch him on the practice field, and he's a really good pass protector. So that might be a player that can push Dallas and Homer for that third down role that maybe if you look at his college tape, you don't necessarily see that out of him. But he is a better all-around player than I think a lot of draft pundits were giving him credit for. He just wasn't utilized as a receiver much in Louisiana Monroe's offense. But this kid is a hard-nosed between-the-tackle runner with explosiveness, can catch the football. So I think he's a practice squad guy to start off. I think Josh Johnson makes the practice squad. I have him over B.J. Emmons at this point. I've got Carson, Penny, Dallas, and Homer being the four backs that make the roster. Alex Collins maybe could still be a practice squad player as well. We don't know what those rules are going to specifically look like this year with it not being as bad pandemic-wise. I don't know that we're going to have the extended practice squad they had last year to be able to get through the season. They probably won't need that. But Alex Collins is going to be right there, and he could always beat out one of those last couple guys for a roster spot. He's going to be in the thick of things. I just think it's going to be a really fun competition with seven very good players that all have different skill sets. And so we won't know much about this group during OTAs. We'll have to wait till the pads come on. Then we'll be able to really evaluate this group. But I think it's going to be one of the more exciting competitions to watch come July and August. Make sure to check out the Locked On Today podcast with host Peter Bukowski. It's under 20 minutes. He updates you on the latest news in every major sport with the help of our local experts. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get podcasts. You can follow me on Twitter at Corbin Smith NFL. Follow Locked On Seahawks on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and the all-new Odyssey app. That's AUDACY. Coming up on our Friday show, I'm going to be answering your questions. It's an extended Locked On Seahawks mailbag segment. Looking forward to it. Thanks for listening in. Enjoy the rest of your Thursday. Go Hawks.